K. Jackson, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, a Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano in Washington. It's out. Former special counsel Jack Smith's final report on President-elect Trump's alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election was released by the Justice Department. This when a court order sought by Trump to prevent that expired at midnight Eastern Time.
What this report is a detailed outline of the charges that would have been brought against Donald Trump, including conspiracy to defraud the United States, obstruction, and conspiracy against rights.
Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
This could be a very telling report. On the other hand, we could have already seen much of this investigation in prior pleadings. But I think this will be the final word from Jack Smith, the special counsel, the Department of Justice, regarding what came up in the investigation of the causes of January 6th and who had responsibility for it.
Trump has responded, writing, quote, "To show you how desperate, deranged Jack Smith is, he released his fake findings at 1 a.m. in the morning." Meanwhile, the work of assembling Trump's new administration continues with confirmation hearings. CBS's Scott McFarlane reports.
Because they've jam-packed so many confirmation hearings, about a dozen of them, that leaves such little bandwidth for Democrats to mobilize or galvanize against any one of Trump's nominees. If Tulsi Gabbard gets pushed back to later this month or into February, then there's more time and space available to Democrats to try to marshal opposition from some Republicans against her. I think for Gabbard supporters, they'd like this to get on the calendar soon.
Additional water tankers and firefighters have been deployed to the Los Angeles area as fierce Santa Ana winds are expected to make it tougher to fight the massive blazes there. CBS's Tom Hansen.
Today, we are looking at severe, dangerous weather conditions, including those alarming wind gusts that we saw last week as well. You know, in the forecast, we're seeing the wind could reach up to 70 miles an hour. And just to give listeners some context there, a Category 1 hurricane starts at 74 miles an hour.
Details are coming in now about a terrifyingly close call between two passenger jets over Phoenix on Saturday. CBS's Chris Van Cleve explains.
Delta Flight 1070 from Detroit with 245 passengers on board received an alert to take immediate evasive action, as did United Flight 1724 with 129 people aboard coming in from San Francisco. Now, the FAA saying they are looking into what amounts to a loss of required separation between the aircraft.
What's called a final round of Gaza truce and hostage release talks is due to start in Qatar amid reports a deal is coming. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Packers packed their bags. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers were cleaning out their lockers after losing to the Eagles on Sunday. Green Bay lost at least four players on offense due to injury during the game, including left guard Elton Jenkins and center Josh Myers, who suffered a fractured leg. The backups committed some costly penalties that wiped out some first downs. Right guard Sean Ryan.
Yeah, it's, seeing those f***ing little yellow flags on the floor really just kind of kills your vibe, but you got to be able to just move on and flush it. And, we had a couple holdings that negated huge gains for us. And the only thing to do about that, I guess, is just be better.
Elsewhere in the NFL, the Chicago Bears are set to meet with Mike McCarthy about their head coaching position. McCarthy fired by the Cowboys after five seasons in Dallas. NBA, the Bucks are back home tonight. They host the Sacramento Kings in Milwaukee. The Badgers are at the Kohl Center against the Ohio State Buckeyes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's one thing not to advance in a nationally televised singing competition show. It's another thing to storm off when you're eliminated. And it's still another thing to do it dressed as a toad. Macy Gray is a Grammy-winning artist. On The Masked Singer, where her identity was concealed, she was referred to as Toad in a Hole, also known as a disgusting name for a breakfast plate. Gray eventually came back for the Q&A, where she said, "You know, I've been singing for a long time, and now I'm a toad." Ouch. At least she got paid. Timothy Chalamet will not only host Saturday Night Live in January, he will also be the musical guest. SNL announced the actor will make his third appearance as host January 25th. In addition to receiving rave reviews for his acting in the Bob Dylan biopic A Complete Unknown, the actor has also been lauded for his singing. Chalamet says he spent 5 years preparing for the role, which included singing lessons, and was adamant about not lip-syncing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies in the overnight as temperatures tumble to near 5 above. Wind chills between 5 and 15 below zero. West winds will be gusty. Sunshine for your Tuesday, highs in the upper teens, gusty winds. Right now it's 10.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Our friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, will be in with a Tuesday tangent with Lukester. What's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to talk trash, but only when he's at the dump. Pete Schwabe.
Good evening, my fellow Wisconsinites. So great to be with you on this balmy Monday night here in the state of Wisconsin. A little chilly out there. Hope we can warm your night a little bit as you leave the day behind and, you know, be part of the show. We'll talk about some movies and TV tonight, maybe a little sports, some comedy, music. We're doing it all. And we're doing it on a very cold night. What better night to sit in and listen or watch the radio for that matter? Gather the family around. Do it old school. Dad can put his pipe in. Mom can bring hot cocoa. And the kids can sprawl around the radio and listen to Nightlight. It's great to have you with me wherever you are joining us from in the great state of Wisconsin. We are broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay here at beautiful City Deck Landing. It is 8 degrees, Conrad, in Green Bay.
Yeah, not great.
I thought we were double digits. I can live with double digits. It's the single digits that really, I'm not going to lie, it really ticks me off.
Yeah, and there's a wind chill too, you know, it's just.
What's the wind chill?
I don't know. I'm just, what I felt out there before.
No, I mean, what does that mean? What does wind chill mean? No, I'm just kidding. hey, how you doing, bud? Did you have a good weekend?
It was good until Sunday.
Oh, man. All right, put a button on the season for me. Let's get this out of the way. We'll have Mike on, I hope, at some point this week. Mike Clemens, our Civic Media Sports Authority, to kind of put a bow on the season. But, yeah, again, they made the playoffs. Good team. But I would imagine as a Packer fan, you're incredibly frustrated.
Well, I wasn't going into this game expecting, like, a win, per se, because, I mean, the Eagles are just a great team.
Yeah.
But just the performance we put out there, it looked like no one wanted to be out on that football field.
It was a little lackluster. I will admit that as well.
Also, a lot of injuries on that. I think the total at the end of the game was like 8 people for the Packers went out.
Listen, I pulled a hammy watching the game. It was just bad all the way around for people from Wisconsin. No, it was. Every time you turned around, it looked like there was a Packer on the floor or on the ground, you know, being injured. So not a good day for the Packers. But who's catching the most heat? LaFleur or Love?
I mean, I've been on Twitter for, I don't know why.
Because you just like to be ticked off. Yeah, I get it.
And a lot of people are blaming Love, but it's like, it's the second year. He's been dealing with injuries all season. He didn't have a wide receiver for half of that game, pretty much. He had to go to the fourth and fifth string receivers. Tucker Kraft was out there, so that was still good. But, yeah, I wouldn't put it on Jordan Love.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying he's without fault, but you don't ditch the guy after basically 2 years and one, you know, you have to kind of, you got to see where it goes. You can't throw in the towel yet, obviously. Oh,
a lot of people are saying he's not worth the money, but.
No, I know. And there's things about LaFleur, too. Yeah. It's like,
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one. But there's always fingers yes. pointing when a team loses. So
it's just someone to blame because you're mad.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's the whole organization's fault.
It sounds like you need a little nightlight tonight, buddy. You need to put the day behind.
I do.
You need a little, some showbiz talk, some movies and TV. Hey, we have a really fun show for you guys tonight. I'm very excited to have Jordan Tresky on the show tonight. He's going to join me at 6:35 and talk about a book he wrote called Building the Milwaukee Bucks. You can pre-order it now. It's not out yet unless you pre-order, but Jordan's an interesting guy who also hosts a podcast about the Packers, and it's called Packers GSPN. So we'll talk to Jordan. Maybe he can help Conrad through his pain tonight. That would be maybe good therapy.
Well, we'll just talk about the Bucks. We don't need to talk about Packers anymore. Just no Packers talk.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We shall see. But Jordan will be here at 6:35. And then at 7:20, Victoria Davis. She's a freelance award-winning writer who also writes for the Cap Times. She does some animation. She does really, really solid work. She's written for the Isthmus in Madison, and she does great work at the Capital Times. She did an article on Nightlight just a few weeks ago, and I thought she'd make a great guest. I really enjoyed my talk with Victoria. So we'll talk about some TV and movies with Victoria. She's got some connections to LA, and we're going to just dip our toe a little bit into the talk about the fires, because there's a GoFundMe being set up, and there's people that, you know, I think we all have, not all of us, but a lot of us know people in L.A., and we'll find out if there's a way we can help, and Victoria will help us with that, too. But she's a really fun guest. She'll be here at 7:20. Some birthdays today that kind of led us to our question of the night. We have Liam Hemsworth. Who did he play, Conrad? He was a superhero, right?
Was it, I think it was Chris.
It's Chris that plays Thor.
Yeah.
But Liam plays something, right? He looks like a superhero.
I forget if he does play or anything.
In Orlando Bloom.
But, that's where I know him mostly from, is from Hunger Games.
Helmsworth?
Yeah, Liam.
Yeah, okay. So, those two guys have birthdays. Liam Hemsworth is 35, brother of Chris Hemsworth. That's a hunky family, boy. That's a lot of hunk right there. They're both movie stars. Doesn't that make you sick, kind of? Like, two good-looking brothers, and they're both having the time of their lives.
Yeah.
And they're talented. They're not, you know, they're good actors. Was it, I always get the two of them confused, though. One of them was in Furiosa this summer and was great.
I think that was Chris.
Was that Chris? Yeah. Liam's got some big shoes to fill. His older brother probably intimidates him. Orlando Bloom turns 48 today. So that leads us, ladies and gentlemen, to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite superhero movie? We've done superhero before, but we've never covered an entire movie. So tonight's question is, what is your favorite superhero movie? This will be a fun one. Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. The Civic Media app is so easy to use. Nightlight is on statewide, so just pull us up on any one of the stations or your home station and click the little text icon right next to the station and let us know your favorite superhero movie. Conrad, how can people watch the radio tonight?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, Nightlight with Beachwaba, WISSWGBW. YouTube, Civic Media or WGBW, and on Twitter, Civic Media or WGBW.
It's fun to watch the radio.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here, but I try to be animated. Sometimes I get my hands going.
You talk with your hands, yes.
I got a nice shirt on tonight. I'm not wearing the Jimmy Pardo favorite from the Tim Walz collection. That was a brutal moment. So let us know. And you know what, folks? We are being hounded. Amanda Nimmer does such a great job here. In Northeast Wisconsin, specifically with WGBW and WISS, but also on the network. She gets our stuff out there, promotes the show. She is telling us, and we don't say no to Amanda. What are we, 9 likes away from 300 likes?
I think we're
close.
Yeah, we're closer than that, actually.
We're closer. Okay, and we're 3 follows away from 600. So we've added like a like a day and 2 follows a day since we've been on the air, roughly. So if you're close to your computer or whatever device you're on, folks, or whatever platform, give us a like or a follow if you don't mind. It would make us look good to Amanda. Listen, I like getting likes and follows too, but I do feel weird. I feel like I'm kind of like panhandling. You got to do it, though. You got to do it. You have to. That's everything now with social media. So if you're close to a like, a thumbs up, a follow, or whatever, we would sure appreciate it, folks. It would be outstanding. And, you know, I got to tell you, I remember last week when I was holding the ticket up? Yeah. Okay, so this really irritates me.
Oh, no.
So last week, I held up a ticket I got at our parking structure here, which is a lovely parking structure. As parking structures go, it's top 5 percentile.
I mean, yeah, there's some plants in there.
Relatively clean, some plants, fully accessible garbage cans. It's a lovely facility. However, when I parked there about, well, I can tell you exactly when it was. It was December 27th. I pulled in. Nobody was in there. So I kind of parked a little sort of askew so I wouldn't have to back out. And I thought, I'll save myself 4 seconds when I leave. Time is precious. So I was kind of inching into the next parking spot. Well, I got a ticket. And it said because I took up more than one spot, which I did. Full disclosure, I'm guilty. I did what the parking person said I did.
I knew it.
Okay. You didn't have anything to do with that, did you? Citizen's arrest. So I got a ticket. So a couple days ago, I sit down to pay bills. Usually, how much time do you think you have typically, Conrad, to pay a ticket?
It's, well, I know because I've gotten a ticket out here.
All right, pretend you haven't.
How much time? I mean, I know that there's 4 different things on there. It says, you know, give it at least 20 days, I'd feel like.
Okay, exactly.
That they shouldn't upcharge it.
Most places, I think, give you 30 days, at least 2 weeks. I go to pay. Since I didn't pay it by January 1st, it went from $32 up to $44. Because... who pays a ticket within 3 days? You either pay it immediately or you wait a week or two when you sit down to pay your bills and you pay it. $44. It went up $12 because I didn't pay it within 3 days. And here's my other issue. It was pretty much a victimless crime. And again, I was in the wrong. I broke the law. But you could leave a note and say, hey, man, it's the holidays. I'm the parking guy. Next time, don't take up 2 spaces, even though there was no one else in the 12,000 square foot parking structure. He could have done that, right? And maybe, I would have, yeah.
Maybe the parking guy wanted to park there.
I took his favorite spot. But it's weird. It's like, that's all he had to do. And I would have said, oh, no problem. Yeah. I didn't know that was a law. I didn't even know they monitored that place.
Yeah. Have you seen, if you keep going down that list of how much it goes up, I think it gets up to like $100 or something like that.
Yeah, after a month, you're at 12 grand. So that was kind of crazy. So this is exciting. We have, you know, it would be nice if the Packers were still alive because we've got Anders Lindell coming on the show.
Yeah.
Wednesday to talk about his movie Green and Gold. Well, if you guys remember, Craig T. Nelson sang the national anthem at Lambeau last week. Anders, pretty big time movie coming out. He's got some star power in it, and I guess it's going to be released wide, right?
Yeah, nationwide, yep.
That's exciting. So that's Wednesday night. The Night Stalker dropped tonight, too. Let's talk about that next. And we've got some Julie Louis-Dreyfus news, too, and a really funny clip. That's all coming up next. We're going to talk some Milwaukee Bucks at 6:35. Jordan Tresky will be here. 7:20 Capital Times writer Victoria Davis will be here. What's your favorite superhero movie, folks? Get involved. Don't sit on the sidelines. Let us know. That's our question of the night. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
That's some serious music right there, Conrad. Thank you. Don't you wish your life always had background music?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Like when I'm parking my car and I'm just inching into the next spot, maybe some eerie kind of ominous background music.
Badass music. Yeah. That's what it is.
I'm a badass. I'm a lawbreaker. Man, I don't know what I am doing on LinkedIn, but I am still on a roll on LinkedIn, according to my email. And I was last week, too. I don't know what the heck I'm doing there because I never sign in. But apparently, I am quite a guy when it comes to LinkedIn.
I got 10 new notifications today.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Messages or follows or what?
You know, actually, it's crazy because every software or every platform now, there's bots on there, you know?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And I've gotten so many messages on LinkedIn. And
that's bots on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
really?
That's what sucked when I was out of college and I was looking for work. I get a message. I'm like, oh, let's go. And
here we go. LFG, so, baby.
It's a long message. I'm just like, at the end of it, I'm like, awesome. Fake again.
Or it's the guy or it's someone from the team at LinkedIn telling you, hey, pay me $400 a month and I'll get your name out there.
Hey, thanks for joining LinkedIn.
Right. I don't need that. Monica in Mount Horeb says, too hard to choose between Wonder Woman, Black Panther, and Captain America. Wow, that is, I thought Wonder Woman was amazing. I loved Gal Gadot. She is so fantastic. Loved Black Panther. I don't know what is going to happen to that franchise because Black Panther passed away.
Yeah.
I'm completely blanking on his name. We'll Google. Captain America, I saw and I liked. It was fine. I want to say my top superhero movies are Batman Begins.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought finally a superhero movie where there's some badassery and it's not trying to appeal to 6-year-olds and adults and everybody's happy and it's crazy CGI. Batman Begins was the first superhero film I saw, mainstream anyway, that I loved. And then this weekend, I watched a film based on a comic book I thought I had seen, but I hadn't seen it yet. And it's called The Old Guard with Charlize Theron. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
Really good. And, you know, my wife and I made dinner, and she's like, why don't we just watch the beginning of this? Because we didn't know what to watch. And I said, okay, fine. We've already seen it before. As it turns out, I hadn't seen it. I meant to watch it. Whatever thought I'd watch it, never did. Ended up watching the whole movie. Really good. And it's about a group of people that are almost immortal. They've lived through centuries and fought the bad guys when it comes to, like, you know, keeping the creation of the polio vaccine out there and fighting against the people in the Crusades, all kinds of stuff. And now they're going head to head with a guy who is the head of a big pharma company and wants to get their DNA because they live so long. Really good movie. Action movie. Well-reviewed on Rotten Tomatoes. I always go to RT. Check it out first. But Monica in Mount Horeb says, Black Panther, Wonder Woman, and Captain America, all great films. Annie from Watertown says, the start of superhero stuff in my life, Christopher Reeves as Superman was awesome. You know what, Annie? I would have said that too when I was younger. And I love that. That film really had a profound effect on me in terms of superheroes, because I wasn't really a superhero kid, but that was just fantastic. I just don't think, like, compared to the new ones with the CGI, I don't know that it holds up for me personally, but very influential. Great choice. Annie continues saying there just hadn't been anything like it. George Reeves, TV runs, TV reruns, and then this truly great casting. He was unique. Yeah, Christopher Reeve was a phenomenal Superman. Tom from New Berlin says, must have been a ticket quota. You just hit it on a slow night. Yeah, if there was a ticket quota to be met, this guy must have walked into the garage and saw my car and said, oh, yeah, here we go.
Here we go.
It's going to be a good month. You might be right about that, Tom. Eric from Lodi says, mine is V for Vendetta. I have not seen that. You see that movie, K-Man?
I actually haven't, no.
No. My wife just sent the text, too. She says, the old guard. Look at that, because we just watched it. She says, best superheroes, best warriors, smart movie. They are considered superheroes. Because they don't wear capes, and they don't have crazy superpowers. They are warriors. They know how to fight. But, yeah, they are based on a comic book, I believe, anyway. Steve from Florida says, talking live with Grandma Krieger in Florida. Conrad, your grandma's in Florida?
Yep. She's at my, nice. At my parents' house.
Steve says, our favorite superhero movie is the original Superman movies starring Christopher Reeve. Another vote for Christopher Reeve tonight. Yeah, can't argue with that. That's a good one, Steve. Hello to Grandma Krieger. So your mom and dad will be passing on messages from your grandma tonight as opposed to Aunt Carla?
Yeah.
Is that how that works? Okay, fair enough. As long as we hear from her, I don't care. Eric from Lodi says, followed by The Incredibles.
Oh, yeah.
V for Vendetta and then The Incredibles. Love The Incredibles. I don't even think of that as a superhero movie. That's funny. Jim from Appleton says, we will make you believe a man can fly is my favorite line from a superhero trailer. That being said, my favorite superhero movie is the first Chris Hemsworth Thor. I don't know if I ever saw Thor all the
it's
way
so
through.
Good.
It is good, though. Yeah, I liked it. As usual, Jim crushes it. Kate in the 715 says, Wonder Woman. I'm going to add Wonder Woman to my list, too, because Gal Gadot, she's so great.
Yeah.
And Black Panther's up there, too. Kate also says Black Panther. And then Kate says Alderman. I think she might mean Aquaman. Kate is on a roll. Spider-Man, she says. Batman, she's naming all the superheroes. Thank you, Kate, from the 715. Those are great answers. I still go Batman Begins. Sherry from Horicon says, my kids and I used to live in a musical. From when we would wake up until like 10 a.m., Every once a month, no superhero movie. Oh, my dad. I think I follow that, Sherry. Sherry was excited when she wrote that. She put four hearts. Emojis don't lie. Thank you very much, Sherry. Sherry says, home movies. There we go. Because your dad was a superhero, Sherry, I'm guessing. Is that what you meant? It's a pretty good answer. She says, he passed a year and a half ago. Sorry to hear that, Sherry. Sherry, you are the new hero in your family. And you're certainly a hero here at Nightlight. Thank you for chiming in. Great to hear from all of you. Oh, Anna in Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I agree with Annie. Christopher Reeve in Superman was a great movie. All right. If this was a race, it'd be neck and neck.
I'm going to put one in for the first Iron Man. Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah, that was a great one. Sherry sent even more hearts. Sherry's back in full force. Hey, this is a great night for you guys to be with us. It's freezing outside. Let's just sit inside and listen to the radio and talk about the things that make us happy, movies and TV. And next, we're going to talk about a book with its author. Jordan Tresky joins me to talk about his book, Building the Milwaukee Bucks. You've got Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Justice Department has released a section of former Special Counsel Jack Smith's report on what it calls President-elect Trump's alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 election. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
It goes through various federal interests that are at stake in prosecuting the case. But in the end, it concludes that the prosecution cannot happen because Donald Trump was found to have presidential immunity, and the Justice Department has a rule against prosecuting somebody while they're in the presidential office.
Los Angeles area firefighters are bracing for dangerous Santa Ana winds, which could sweep in at any time.
We have crews where they belong. Everybody's in place. Everybody knows the mission. Everybody knows the game plan. Because when the winds start blowing, we will have our hands full. But we are ready for what's coming our way.
That's Los Angeles County Fire Captain Kelleher. CBS News Break. I'm Michael Toscano.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers pack their bags. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers were cleaning out their lockers after losing to the Eagles on Sunday. Green Bay lost at least four players on offense due to injury during the game, including left guard Elgton Jenkins and center Josh Myers, who suffered a fractured leg. The backups committed some costly penalties that wiped out some first downs. Right guard Sean Ryan.
Yeah, it's, seeing those f***ing little yellow flags on the floor really just kind of kills your vibe, but you got to be able to just move on and flush it. And, we had a couple holdings that negated huge gains for us. And the only thing to do about that, I guess, is just be better.
Elsewhere in the NFL, the Chicago Bears are set to meet with Mike McCarthy about their head coaching position. McCarthy fired by the Cowboys after five seasons in Dallas. NBA, the Bucks are back home tonight. They host the Sacramento Kings in Milwaukee. The Badgers are at the Kohl Center against the Ohio State Buckeyes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The show must go on. Despite wildfires continuing to burn, production will start up again in Los Angeles. After being put on hold last week, Variety reports that shows like Jimmy Kimmel Live, NCIS Origins, and The Neighborhood will resume production. Other shows like Hacks, Suits LA, Ted, and Amazon's Fallout have not resumed production after being affected last week. Hollywood continues to rally around the victims of the LA fires. The latest organization to donate money is the Screen Actors Guild and American Federation of TV and Radio Artists. SAG-AFTRA had closed its offices due to the fires, which started January 7th. The union also postponed its in-person award nominating ceremony. SAG-AFTRA president, actress Fran Drescher, offered support to victims and those who have lost their homes and announced her union would donate $1 million to victims through the SAG-AFTRA Foundation. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is cold out there again this morning with a wind chill hovering between minus 10 and minus 15. And we're going to keep that wind chill hovering either side of zero for a good chunk of the day. Sunshine, actual high 16 today, clear tonight, 4 above tomorrow. Sunny with a high of 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now is 10.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him. That I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday, we'll talk about Wisconsin agricultural tourism. It's a big growing industry with planning underway for this year that includes a big old corn maze challenge.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Lodi, she's in the 608. She says, favorite superhero movies, can't pick one. First, Wonder Woman. First, Black Panther. Christopher Reeve's first Superman and V for Vendetta. They are so amazing and masterpiece stories with the perfect casts in them. It sounds like you did okay, Judy, for someone who couldn't pick one. Yeah, those are all great. And all have already been named tonight. That's crazy that people are going right for the same movies. I guess there's a reason they're so popular. Keep those texts coming, folks. Great to hear from you guys. Always more fun when you're part of the show. What is your favorite superhero movie? We got some superhero birthdays today in the acting world. I said Batman Begins. I added Wonder Woman. And I went with The Old Guard, which, as I understand it, they're based on a comic book, and I'm going to qualify them as superhero movies. All right, Victoria Davis from the Capital Times will be here at 7:20. We'll talk movies and TV, and she's got some an inside track on the LA fires. We'll talk to her a little bit about that. Right now, joining me on Nightlight for the first time, very excited to have this guy on the show. He wrote a book called Building the Milwaukee Bucks, and he also hosts a podcast about the Packers. He's very tied into journalism and Wisconsin sports, and he joins us now on the stream, Jordan Tresky. Jordan, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing very well. How about you?
Doing great. It's nice to meet you. And it's nice that we met on Blue Sky, which you're the first person I've had back and forth with on that app, actually. And it was so easy. I loved it.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very easy. It was great.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it going? How are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. Can't complain.
Good. You got a whole setup there because you're a podcast host. I love that. And you sound great. Thanks for being here. So, all right, you're obviously a huge Wisconsin sports fan. I don't know if you heard the show at the top of the hour or at the top of the show, but we were lamenting the Packers loss. Conrad is a diehard Packer fan. You also host a Packers podcast. Let's get your take on that. Help Conrad through this. What is your take on what happened yesterday?
It was obviously tough, but it didn't come as a surprise. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the signs that we saw with this team, it just kind of felt like, whether it was injury or whether it was the, you know, Jordan Love just not being himself or just kind of right in the waves of ups and downs, it's never broke right in the right way that we kind of expected going into the year. And then I think a big part of it too is that the NFC just got a lot better. Their division just got
smokes.
Finished third place with an 11-6 record. It's like, it's tough to beat all the outside factors, and then when internally things aren't as good as we wanted them to be going in the year, I think it just kind of all factored into a terrible loss like yesterday.
It's such a weird thing that happened in the NFC North too, because the Vikings got it right with their hire and with their GM hire and their head coach. Detroit has been this work in progress for 3 or 4 years now. They're crushing it. I mean, the Packers were the class of the conference for a while, and now they're still good, but it is a very tough division. What would you do if you were, like, let's say this offseason, what would you do, Jordan, if you could pick? Would you go hard at free agency? Where would you go in the draft? How would you address what the Packers need?
I think the big thing for them is that, you know, free agency is always this kind of white whale. We always want them to go after the big fish, but they're very choosy or selective with when they do that. When they do that in recent years, like getting Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, those guys paid off for them in big ways this year. It's like, how do you keep going younger? I would probably say maybe go after someone, you know, maybe wide receiver one or someone with kind of the caliber that can help elevate this team and keep them going on the right track so they can contend for a Super Bowl, so they can win the division. So I think going younger is not necessarily the move that I would make, but this is, you know, my thoughts 24 hours after they lose
right.
in an embarrassing fashion.
it's weird because, I mean, just, you know, they are so young. I think they're the youngest team in the league. You've got a young head coach. Maybe you need another Reggie White, a veteran presence, to come in and kind of light the fire under some guys. Not that they didn't play hard, but it just seems like that wouldn't be the wrong choice either. What would you do in the draft, do you think?
That's really tough. I mean, I think the biggest thing that they'll have to – I mean, they're at that crossroads with Jair Alexander where he's playing half of the games over the last 3 years. He's had some injuries. They're paying big money to be a leader on this team. And when you can't play, it's like that kind of just takes your effect on what this team can do.
Right.
So I think going after improving their secondary, getting maybe another top level cornerback would help them with a defense that's certainly on the rise. I mean, everybody's going to be like, get weapons for Jordan Love. I mean, everybody lamented that when Aaron Rodgers was around and they didn't get a wide receiver in the first round, but that didn't matter much when you're getting Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, guys that could still certainly help. But I think it's just going to be really tough if you just want to keep adding talent in the right way and help elevate this team that's, like you mentioned, they're still so young that the clock is still very early on a lot of these guys, but that can turn on a dime very fast.
Well said. All right. Tell listeners how they can find your Packers podcast. It's Packers GSPN. Am I getting that right?
Yes. So it's called Talk of the Tundra. It's Packers GSPN on X. Our Substack page, it's the GSPN Eurostep Podcast Network. It has our Bucks podcast, our Packers podcast, and our Brewers podcast. So we have all the big Wisconsin pro sports teams covered in that way.
All right, let's get to your book, Building the Milwaukee Bucks. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Oscar Robertson, and the Rapid Rise of an NBA Franchise, 1968 to 1975. I found this really interesting today, reading up just on the book, and I didn't realize that the Bucks won a championship that early on in their franchise's history. That is insane to me. But let's get into that. But tell us about Building the Milwaukee Bucks.
So, I mean, I can go back to kind of the origins. I've talked and written about the Bucks for like a decade. I started at Behind the Buck Pass, which is like a fan-sided, it's kind of like a personal team blog of basically what I've been doing for the last 2 years, but that's where I was housed for many years. And that's where like a lot of my love of Bucks history really started, and really writing about things. I got to shout out Adam McGee. He's from Ireland. And ran the site for many years. And he put out this posting of, hey, I'm looking for writers. I'm looking for people that will talk about the Bucks. And I, you know, respond to that. And 10 years later, here we are. We co-host a podcast about the Bucks and still going. But nice. That's where it all started. And then when they won the championship in 21, it was always like these things that we've been talking about and writing about for years of, you know, it's obviously like big names that you talk about. And it's just like, that felt like the perfect opportunity to kind of really go back and explore just how it was when they won the first time. And it was, as you would read in this book, it was a very different atmosphere for a lot of reasons. And a big part was the Bucks were just so new and the NBA wasn't certainly not as established as they are now. So it just kind of made for like, they just got so good so fast. And I think a lot of people just had to catch up to that really quickly.
That's crazy. And it sounds like there are parallels there between the 71 champs and the 2021 champs. How did they get, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Oscar Robertson? Did they just come through the draft?
So Kareem was kind of the big fish that at the time, the NBA is certainly looking at him as the next star. And at the time, the ABA, which is rivaling like the big rival to the NBA, they're looking at Kareem as this is the guy that's going to legitimize our league and help, you know, at the very least force a merger or even take over the NBA. So there is this bidding war. Like there's two levels to this where the Bucks obviously had to win the coin flip, which back at the time, the first overall pick was determined by a coin flip. So they had to win the rights to him to draft him in the NBA. And then they had to do the bidding war with the ABA, which is pulling all their money together just to get Kareem to come to their league and play for the Nets. They were giving him, like, you know, ownership rights to the franchise, like, dude, pulling out all the stops to get him. And so, yeah, that was part of, like, the craziness of just getting Kareem to Milwaukee. And then Oscar was very much like on the other side of it, where he played for the Cincinnati Royals. They, for a good while there, they kind of just ran up against the Celtics, who won, I believe it's like 8 titles out of 10 years. So basically throughout the 60s, the Royals are kind of the second banana, or the team that just, they're never going to get to that, the finals.
Yeah.
And then Oscar is playing for so long and he's getting older, and they're kind of viewing him as, we want to trade him, we want to move on from him. And so it's this very contentious exit for him. And the team that he picks, he looks at the Bucks. They improve from 27 wins in their first year to 56 wins when Kareem comes. And he's looking at them as, I want to play with them. They're going to be my best chance of winning a championship. And then the next year they win it. So it's just crazy how all these like dominoes just like happened so in quick succession of one another.
It's like a perfect storm.
Yeah, truly.
My guest is Jordan Tresky. He is the author of Building the Milwaukee Bucks, which is now available for pre-sale, right? Tell us how people can get the book, Jordan. I know it's not totally out yet, but they can order it, correct?
Yes. So there's, you can certainly find it on Amazon. My publisher, McFarlane & Company, who have been super supportive and super great throughout this process, they just put it up on their website as well. So both McFarlane's direct website and Amazon will have pre-order capabilities.
All right. Let's talk about Oscar Robertson. I feel like he doesn't get – this is a guy who I believe he averaged a triple-double for a season. Like, he was a phenomenal player. Michael Jordan always talks about how Oscar Robertson was his hero growing up. But yeah. I don't hear his – name mentioned much as far as NBA all-time greats goes. It's what, and he, you're saying he was at the end of his career sort of, or on the downside of it when he came to the Bucks?
Yeah. So he played about a decade for the Royals. And then when he comes to the Bucks, he finishes out his last four seasons, but isn't like, he's not doing, you know, averaging triple double during that time. He's right. More of kind of the supporting guy, but the floor general, the leader of the team that in a lot of ways. So it's a fading Oscar Robertson, but he means so much in so many different ways, not just for the Bucks, but for the NBA itself.
That's interesting. You also mention in the synopsis of the book I read that Kareem, who I think was still Lou Alcindor, correct, when he was here?
Yes.
Okay. He was not happy or not comfortable, I should say, being the face of the franchise. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so that is part of, like, I would describe it as, like, the heart of the book, is that you have Kareem's side of it, where he comes to Milwaukee. It's a place that he's not very familiar. I believe it, you know, he talks about the only reason why he knew Milwaukee is that the Braves, who, when they were in Milwaukee, played against the Brooklyn Dodgers, the New York Yankees in the 1957 World Series. So it's a place that he's not very familiar with. And as he learns, it's a place that, you know, at the time, Milwaukee was just out of the race riots in 1967. It's a very different community, a different atmosphere that he's very used to. So it's very much like when he comes to town, people are looking at him as like, it's Kareem or Lou Alcindor at the time. He's this very famous person. And he was very uncomfortable with being a celebrity and having, you know, personal space invaded. Like, it's crazy. Like, when I was doing all this work, you know, you're reading these newspaper listings and they're putting out his address in the newspaper.
Whoa.
And it's like, whoa. Like, I they're not doing that with Giannis these days, you know, right. Like, or Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers once upon a time. It's just like, it's a very different atmosphere. I think for me, you know, I'm 32 years old, soon to be 33. I did not watch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar play for the Bucks. I'm not that old. But going back and kind of getting used to how people were covered at the time, it's just a very different atmosphere. And certainly, like, I could very much, like, equate to, like, someone that feels like so much is bearing on him, and he's viewed as this guy that's going to save the NBA or save pro basketball. Like, there's so much in his life at that time that makes it him so compelling for a lot of reasons. And then we just mentioned, it's like he changes his religion. He converts to Islam right after they win the title. He announces that he wants to be only referred to as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And that's met very, you know, not very well at the time. And it just adds to kind of the mystique or kind of the characterization as someone that was very devoid or aloof. That's often how he was referred to at the time.
Let's pick it up there. We got to do a very short break. Jordan Tresky is here. He's the author of Building the Milwaukee Bucks. We're talking about Lou Alcindor, and we'll have more on that when we come back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote. You certify the results. Democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Here's a good one. From the 920, Bill says, when we think of some of the greatest and toughest superheroes, we shouldn't forget the greatest American hero and Blank Man. Greatest American Hero had a great theme song, too. That's a great one, Bill. And then 262 says, Iron Man. They're with you, Conrad. All right. Wow, great suggestions. Keep them coming, folks. What is your favorite superhero movie? That is tonight's question. Tonight's Nightlight question of the night. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Shout out to Aaron Carreno, who is in the hizzy from the Civic Media home office. Our operations manager. Good to see you, Aaron. All right, we're talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. A book was written by Jordan Tresky, Building the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, Building the Milwaukee Bucks. And we're talking about, right before the break, Jordan, we talked about Kareem. And he was Lou Alcindor, then he became Kareem, you said, after they won. And he was never really comfortable being the face of the franchise. Why is that? He seemed to kind of relax into his fame a little bit more, but never totally comfortable with it, even when he was an icon and a legend. Why do you think he wasn't comfortable with that?
I don't know. I think it's, you know, certainly an interesting time, and in that I think it's certainly informed by where the country was, where he was personally, like going back and doing all this research. You know, he's going through terrible things. Like he gets married, he converts to Islam, he gets divorced like within like a 2-year period. And a lot of these personal details he's not sharing to the press. Like, again, he's very wants to keep his privacy, but I think trying to kind of keep himself acclimated to the basketball world and being himself, like eventually, as you mentioned, like relaxing into his fame, I think that came naturally once he kind of put everything together and was just very comfortable sharing who he was. And obviously that comes with a lot of time and being in the spotlight as much as he was for a very long time.
Yeah. How much research, Jordan, would you say, how long did this take you to write? And let's do that first. And I want to ask you about interviews. Were they tough to get? Who did you like and who was evasive, if anybody? It sounds overwhelming to write a book. Just talk a little bit about that process, if you would.
Yeah, like this did not start off as a book by any means. This is Adam and I were kind of thinking about it as like a documentary project, whether it was like audio or visual. But time and just, you know, holding down a day job and doing this, you know, on the side on top of doing podcasts and stuff like that, like it got to be, I would just kind of chip away at things. So by and large, it was like 3 years from starting to do research and then submitting it to McFarland last summer and them saying, hey, we really like the idea and we'll go ahead and publish it. So it was
that must have been a great feeling.
Oh, yeah. It was so validating because it's like, you know, you think of back to the days of just like, what do I do with this? Like, I've been researching. I've tried to get interviews. Like, part of it, I think I wanted to just kind of capture everything how it was at the time. But, you know, if I talked to Oscar Robertson or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I would have been super thrilled. I did not get that chance.
Okay.
But I did talk to Jim Paschke, who did Bucks television broadcast for,
yeah,
I don't know, 35 years. And that for me was just huge, just because this is a guy that I've would hear his voice for at least 82 games for many years. He's since retired since they won the championship, but that was just like just such a thrill to talk to him about. It wasn't a time period that he covered himself, but he talked a lot about just what the Bucks mean. And I think that to me, like as I kept doing this and what I wanted to get this across, I just wanted to talk about like the importance of the Bucks, where it's been a franchise that's gotten their shine when they've been good, but you know, in recent memory, until they got Giannis and until they win the championship, like nationally, they were irrelevant for a very long time. So to go back and be able to kind of uncover all this stuff, I think that was just my way of kind of exploring like how much, like you mentioned, like it was just like a rocket ship to the moon.
Yeah.
So quickly. And then you just kind of like capture just like, this is just the team from Milwaukee that, at the time, it was they just lost the Braves, and they sports in Milwaukee means so much. And I don't know, maybe it's my years of doing this for so long and why I gravitated towards it in the first place. But maybe I'm validating my own existence of talking about sports for a very long time. But it just something I kept coming back to throughout this whole thing.
That is the voice of Jordan Tresky. He's the author of Building the Bucks, which you can now pre-order on Amazon. So how long did it take you? Jordan, this had to be at least, what, a couple years compiling everything? A
couple years for sure. So yeah. 3 years for sure between starting research and then that getting submitted to McFarland. And then, you know, I got married between there, and my wife was such a trooper of learning about players that she'd never heard of before. And I'd be just like inundating her with details of like, yeah, he did this, he did that. And she's like, great, you know, that's great. But yeah, 3 years.
Nice. All right. So what made you, it's a big commitment, whether you're making a documentary film or, you know, writing a book, what made you decide I'm going to spend 3 years of my life? Is it a love for the Bucks? Was it something to do? Was it a story to tell? What made you go over that line?
I think all of the above, frankly. Okay. I mean, I felt very comfortable talking about the Bucks for a very long time, but seeing it kind of develop and the things that would, you know, there's a lot of parallels. It's a lot of big names in kind of Milwaukee and Wisconsin history. So when you see these names come up and time again, you're just like, huh, like that connects with this, yeah, that connects with that. And I think for me, it was just a way to tell the story of the Bucks in a time in Milwaukee that, you know, whether it's been told before or not, like it was a way of me trying to bridge everything together and, yeah, tell it in a very compelling way.
That's great. All right, we're going to talk more with Jordan about his book after Civic Media's award-winning news team tells you what you need to know. And Jordan, hang on. We got a couple texters that have questions for you, so we'll cover that. And also, if you want to get in on the fun, what is your favorite superhero movie? That is our Nightlight question of the night. We'll have more with Jordan Tresky, author of Building the Milwaukee Bucks, when we come back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn as the national media landscape continues to evolve. Plus, when insurance companies go broke, who pays? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The Justice Department released part one of the special counsel's report overnight on Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. It says he would have been convicted if he hadn't won this past November. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
Given how damning Special Counsel Jack Smith's report is, it's understandable now why Donald Trump and his team worked so hard to keep it from getting to the public.
Mr. Trump's controversial pick for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth goes before the Senate today for his confirmation hearing. Military consultant Jeff McCausland.
He suggests that the biggest threat to American national security right now is wokeism amongst the senior leadership of the U.S. military.
Powerful Santa Ana winds are expected to blast wildfire ravaged Southern California today. CBS's Tom Hansen.
The gusts are going to be significant. And so that not only could hamper efforts in the event that it spreads the wildfires, it could hamper efforts for downed trees.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.